Hello and welcome to another episode of 5280 Nerd. I am one of your awesome, incredible hosts, Micah.
And I'm the other not-so-conceited one, Sean Porter. This is episode 32. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Sorry about last week's episode. That was my fault. I'll take a hit on that one. Got it up a little bit late. Me and Micah have been pretty busy. But it was up. Hope you guys are enjoying it. If you haven't had a chance and you missed it in the beginning of last week, definitely go back and check that one out. But thank you guys so much for joining us. How was your week, Micah?
It was good. It was good. And it wasn't all Sean's fault. I'll share the blame, too. We take turns editing and all that, and he's had a lot on his plate this week, you know, helping me out with wedding stuff. So we apologize to you guys, and we'll try not to let that happen again. but it was a good week. Didn't get much gaming in. Just heard some cool news that I'm excited to talk about this week, Sean. How about you? Anything exciting new?
Yeah, man. Still just looking for a house. That was one of the things that really has been sucking up my time lately. We got all of our approval stuff is all done. We have money and all that stuff good to go. But trying to find a good place for us to live and a good location. And it's a lot more time consuming than I thought it would be. So this first house we've bought, we've rented up until now. So
nice.
Yeah, it's going good though.
That is a big endeavor for sure. Yeah. So it, life, ugh, gross, disgusting. Hate life, love life, but there's a lot of responsibility is what I should say, but yeah, man. Well, good for you. That's awesome.
Responsibility. What's that?
Hashtag MXPX. And also, I hope you got a big basement so I can come.
Yeah.
Live with you with my children and my wife. And
do you have to have children?
You
got to
take care of me.
If I take you in?
Well,
I mean,
I don't know.
If you're living in my basement, I think you just get snipped. Cause
I mean, but
game over.
You're just being a little not so giving right now, Sean.
I'm trying. I mean,
it is your job to take care of me financially.
You're like a big, dumb baby.
A big, dumb, sexy, beautiful baby. Baby, baby. Sean, let's dive into our two cents.
Yeah, man.
You saw Creed, right?
I did. A little late to the party on this one. I was a huge Rocky fan. Loved those movies. Finally came out on Apple TV or whatever. iTunes, finally. So I watched it. I loved it. It made me cry like a little baby. It was like,
really?
Oh my gosh, dude. It was so emotional. It was crazy.
Really?
It.
Huh.
Like, yeah, I mean, the old Rockies, they would bring a tear to my eye, but this one was like, just like, they pulled every heartstring they could pull. Yeah, it was really good. I thought it was really well done. I think Sylvester Stallone, the best acting I've ever seen him do in his career, should have won Best Supporting Actor, in my opinion, this year. Was phenomenal. Michael B. Jordan killed it. Did a great job. Everybody in it just did a phenomenal job, man. I think it was, I'm trying to think who directed it. Ryan Coogler directed it. Did really well in the box office. It was a great movie. Really nostalgic of the old ones, and they like tied it in without it being cheesy. And they just really modernized the whole Rocky story and made it even better than it's ever been. So. Yeah, man, they did a phenomenal movie. I'm just going to say that. 100%, two thumbs up. Definitely go check it out. I'd give it a 10 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I need to see this movie then. Yeah. This is a must watch.
Go out and watch it. If you haven't seen it yet, if you're at all into, like, I don't know what you would call them, like sports films, like motivational film. I don't know. I'm going to call it motivational film. That sounds really cheesy and dicky, but I don't know. Just
I think a sports film is, it's not quite an action movie, but it's like, yeah, that's good.
Totally. Yeah. If you liked, I don't know, any of the Rocky movies, like Remember the Titans, any of those football movies like that kind of
genre. The Blind Side.
Totally. Blind Side. That kind of genre, this one's going to just rock your world. So The fight sequences are incredible, so there's definitely some like blood and violence in it too. There's like a love story kind of mixed in, like the original Rocky, with Adrian and all that stuff. And an interesting fact, Sylvester Stallone is the same age as Nicky, his trainer, was in the original movie. So,
huh.
And he
kinda, that's pretty
he,
cool.
He plays the Nicky role in this movie as like the trainer. So, yeah, man. Really, really cool movie.
Awesome. Well, I'll have to watch it. A 10 out of 10 is not something that me and Sean give out lightly with video games or movies or TV shows. So I'll have to definitely give it a watch. That's awesome, dude. Very cool.
Definitely, definitely.
Well, moving right along, me and Sean both saw the first Ghostbusters reboot trailer. It came out yesterday. Or the day before, I think it came out this week, Thursday. I'll give my opinion. Sean, you can go for it. I thought it was a weak trailer, and it made me kind of worried about the movie, to be honest with you. There wasn't any like one-liners that I was like laughing about, and I don't know. It just kind of seems... I hope they don't mess up this property, even though there's a lot of talent and I like a lot of the actors in this. Melissa McCarthy is in it. I think she's freaking hilarious. You know, a lot of the bridesmaid girls. But yeah, what do you think? Did you think that this trailer hit the mark for you? Or are you worried? Or
no, I thought this movie, the trailer wasn't very good, in my opinion, either. I agree. I don't know. I don't know if it was just a bad trailer, if the movie's going to be bad. I felt like it was just in the truest sense, just a remake of the original. Like, I don't feel like they've tried to make any real changes or strides to do something different. The ghosts look better than they did in the original, I guess. I don't know, man. Like, it really wasn't that impressive. I don't know. Wasn't blown away.
There wasn't anything like super funny either. Like nothing.
Totally.
Like, oh, that's fun. That's gonna like if you. I understand you don't want to give the whole movie away with a trailer or like have the funniest line of the movie in the trailer. I get that, but at the same time, you have to entice. You have to entice your viewers and crowd that you're trying to draw in to watch this movie, and I think they totally missed the mark, and it kind of makes me worry if this is going to be a flop at the box office, but I don't feel good about this one.
Yeah, they got such big names behind it, you would think that it wouldn't flop. I mean, Melissa McCarthy's huge name, usually does phenomenal in the box office. She looked funny. I mean, she looked kind of like her average character in it. Kristen Wiig, I think, is one of the funniest women on the planet.
Agreed.
The stuff that she puts out is always hilarious. Her like kind of quirky, like awkward sense of humor is just like always makes me laugh. And I didn't really see it from her this time. So yeah, I don't know, man. I totally agree. I feel like it could go bad. Hopefully it doesn't. I don't know, man. I hope that it's not just like let's retell a story but with women. Like I think that's dumb. I think they could do a lot more with it than
and I think that's what it is.
Yeah, so far that's exactly what it seems like it is. It's just a remake of almost the exact first movie, you know. I'm sure there's some differences. I don't know. Hopefully it comes out good. I'm still going to go see it. I'm still going to give it a shot. Maybe, like we said, maybe they just did a bad job at a trailer, which I've seen before. There have been movies that have come out that the trailers just look awful and you go see the movie and it's just great. So,
yeah. And there's, yeah, I mean, in every movie's different for like John Carter, everyone hated that movie. It literally was like Disney's worst movie at the box office. I love John Carter. I thought that was a great movie. And I was like, how in the heck did this thing bomb? It's such a great story. And then so I mean, you never know. And even if it does bomb, some people will still like it, so.
For sure. I mean, you got like such a heavyweight property like Ghostbusters behind it. People are gonna go see it. Melissa McCarthy, people are gonna go see it for her. Even on the other side, you got a ton of people in it that people are just gonna at least throw down that initial ticket buy. What the reviews are afterwards, you know, that's that's still to be seen. But yeah, they've taken a lot of heat for this one so far.
Yeah, I don't think it's been received well. But you guys tell us what you think about the trailer. We'd be curious to hear your opinion. We love the Ghostbuster property, and we'd hate to see it get ruined just for a money grab. But we'll see. We aren't gonna give our final verdict, obviously, with a trailer, but not impressive so far. But anyway, moving right along to our news for this week. R2-D2 creator Tony Dyson has died at 68. We thought whenever somebody dies in nerd pop culture that we think that we should mention, like David Bowie we did, and several other people, we want to mention them just to kind of give them a memorable thing. And it's such a big part of our lives, and part of you as a listener, your guys' lives, and we just wanted to honor them. So, yeah, Dyson ran the White Horse Toy Company in the United Kingdom when he was hired to build the remote-controlled R2-D2 units for George Lucas's Star Wars film in the 1970s. But he worked on visual effects on several films, like including like Superman 2 and James Bond, movies like that. So sad to see him go. It's pretty sad.
Yeah, absolutely. According to like the BBC, they said that Dyson likely died of natural causes. He was 68 years old. Yeah, man, that's a tragedy for sure, especially with like all the reboot and I guess continuation of Star Wars films that are happening, and just the reignited fire that's coming behind all of this. It's definitely sad to see somebody in that world pass away. Somebody that definitely had such a large contribution creating R2-D2. That's a lot of people's favorite character. I know when he showed up in the movie, the last movie that came out in episode 7, the whole theater was just like cheering and was so excited to see R2-D2 again. And so he's definitely a character that's loved by so many people and has a big meaning to a lot of people, you know. He was like just your first lovable, friendly neighborhood robot.
Very made the most iconic robot probably of all time, which is pretty impressive. So RIP Tony Dyson, we appreciate your contribution. But moving right along on a higher little up note, we have some Xbox One news that is very exciting, Sean. I've been really wanting to talk to you about this. Phil Spencer, the head of Xbox, kind of dropped some hints about Xbox One hardware upgrade, Sean. So did you hear about this at all during the week?
Yeah, I heard some stuff here and there. Sounds really amazing, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Xbox had a spring showcase. It was just an event where they had like a keynote last week. So Microsoft's head of Xbox, Phil Spencer, he talked about the future of, he called it hardware innovation for the Xbox One console. So he kind of hinted and explained it like the Xbox consoles going forward will kind of evolve like PCs. So you buy the console and they'll sell hardware pieces for you to probably just like clip in. They'll make space in, I don't know if for Xbox One, if that's going to happen right away, but with the next console, they're trying to evolve it into a PC type thing, which is a very interesting concept because you think about, Sean, consoles and how they just change every 3 to 5 years, and it'd be nice to just have your own dang console, and if something overheats you can just go buy it. And I know that sounds like, well, Michael, why don't you just buy a PC, why aren't you just doing it's the same thing as a PC? Well, it's a little different. If every piece is the same for the Xbox One, I don't have to look at 5 different video cards and 100 different hard drives for my specific PC. I think it'll be less intimidating, Sean, if you have Xbox One certified hardware products that you know to buy, and it's easy to switch out for somebody who's not maybe as PC savvy as other people. I don't know. What do you think about this, Sean? Do you think that model for consoles going forward is a good thing?
Yeah, I think so, man. We're getting into like, I don't know. There's always going to be like motherboard upgrades and stuff like that that you could do. I think opening up the box and saying they were going to allow you to upgrade your Xbox One eventually, or your Xbox, whatever the console that comes out that they decide to do this on, or if it's not the current generation. I think it's a good idea, man. I mean, I think there's potential. I think they understand that also technology is increasing in the way that it comes out, how often it comes out. So instead of trying to keep up with manufacturing these full finished things every single time something new comes out, just being able to upgrade it is a lot smarter. And like we've talked about in the past, we both disagreed about when it's going to happen, but we both know that eventually it's going to probably all be digital content sometime in the future. So once you get rid of that hard drive out of there, you have less moving parts that you have to worry about breaking, and everything in internal solid state. So it's a lot easier to switch out. Things aren't breaking from wear and tear. They're maybe becoming outmoded. Just makes sense, man. It makes sense to get on that now, especially if you're wanting to incorporate other facets of a PC, as far as like making it more universal, as far as you could, I don't know, use Windows programs. I know they want to incorporate Windows 10 into it a lot more. So being able to maybe open a Word document and type something out real quick and then jump on your game, I think we're well within that realm right now. So
yeah, I agree. I think, well, first, I think this is a very game-changing thing in the console world. I mean, that is such a... It really blew my mind when I read it. I was like, why haven't we done this before? So I can just buy my Xbox One, you know, for example, if that was the next console, whatever they come out with. And I'll have that for 10-plus years, because I'll just be switching out the hardware. They're like, oh, for this next year's upgrade, it's $60, and I just clip it in. You know, hopefully it's a easy system to do. But I don't know. I just felt like this is a no-brainer, but I feel like it's something that's definitely going to have to keep PlayStation and Nintendo on their toes for the console in the future, the consoles in the future. But, I mean, it adds so much value to the console, Sean, because you aren't having to every 5 years spend $500-$600. In theory, it should be cheaper to maintain over the years than buying a new console every 3 or 4 years. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, let me read a little quote from him. He said, when you look at the console space, he's talking about things in the future, new consoles in the future, Phil Spencer. I believe you'll see more hardware innovation in the console space than we've ever seen before. You'll actually see us come out with new hardware capability during a generation, allowing the same great games to run backward and forward capability, because we have universal Windows applications running on top of universal Windows platform that allows them to focus more on hardware innovations without invalidating the game that is running on the platform that they're on. So basically, he's just saying, you know, if you have a game with Xbox One that you like in this generation, and there's another generation of consoles that comes out, it should be interchangeable. And I think that that's a great idea. I don't know, Sean. I just think this is a huge game changer. I think Xbox One and Microsoft is making a great move by kind of showcasing what their plan is to move forward with that.
Yeah, for sure, man. That's always encouraging to hear that, like, you have to be, especially when such a tight race between Sony and Windows are always competing for people's dollars. You got to be always innovating yourself, always building the next best thing, and especially with gaming. It's all built on the technology and the new current trends that are coming out. I mean, we're seeing already 8K and 10K TVs are starting to be unveiled. So graphics are just out of this world. Like, within the next couple of years, like Oculus Rift and all these other things are going to become more mainstay market staples, opposed to, they're kind of the overbloated expensive products that they are right now. But eventually 3D is, or not just 3D, but virtual reality is going to be such a big part of our gaming atmosphere. So yeah, man, like you said, there's just so much stuff that's coming out that you have to be able to adapt to. I think, like you said, also being able to buy a console and have it last 10, 20 years opposed to, you know, 5 to 7 years that we currently have, I think is a big, big upgrade. And it's a big, I don't know, it's a big update for everybody. I think that you do run into the risk of, maybe it's not a bad thing, but people could have better hardware than other people. Like on the PC realm, there's people with like overclocked, water cooled systems that run graphics perfectly, opposed to like somebody you could just go buy a Dell from Best Buy. So I think you're gonna have that, you know, transition to deal with. Like people are gonna be able to run higher graphics than other people, and then like how much are these things gonna actually cost in the future? Am I still gonna have to pay $600 for my console, and then I'm gonna have to pay $300 every time some new component comes out?
Right.
So yeah.
Right, and that's a great point, Sean. That's a really great point. What I think that they will do, or at least what they should do, is keep the Xbox brand and licensing around. So, you know, let's say that you can't just put any hard drive in the Xbox. You can't just put any graphics card into the Xbox. You can't put any whatever into the Xbox. I think how they should market it and sell it going forward, if it's going to be interchangeable, they'll say, this is the next upgrade, blah, 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 for, let's say, a graphics card. You can't just get any PC graphics card and pop it in. It'll have to be an Xbox graphics card. Does that make sense? So hopefully they'll brand it like that and sell the product like that, because then it's easy. Then you don't have to go to freaking Best Buy and look at a whole thing, be like, well, which one's compatible with my computer? Which one's compatible with this? You can just say, oh, Xbox, that's the new one that I need. Pick it up, snap it in. That's what I'm hoping that it'll be like.
And hopefully, I mean, if they do choose to do that, they put as much thought and care into that, you know, that hopefully those products are done really well. Sometimes I've gotten Xbox products that are they try to make them affordable enough for everybody, but they don't necessarily produce the best product, you know. And I feel like there's like a lot of times with like headphones and other like third-party stuff that you could buy to go along with your Xbox, sometimes there's a lot of other companies that do it a lot better. So I could see them, even if they partnered maybe like with somebody, but they said this is the officially licensed whatever from Intel, like Intel works with them and it's like their new whatever hard drive or whatever is produced, or Western Digital Western partners with them to make new hard drives. So like the best companies are still producing the best products, but they're just the officially licensed product or whatever. I think that would work. And then also they keep the price point down is a big part for me.
Absolutely, because you want it to be, you know, financially a better value, because if you're going to end up spending the same amount just to upgrade it, that kind of defeats the whole purpose, in my opinion. It needs to be definitely, the value has to be on point. And this isn't an easy transition. I'm sure there's hundreds and hundreds more questions about this new, because that's what I mean. It's so game-changing. I mean, because that's a big reason why people, I think, buy consoles instead of PC, Sean. It's an easy thing. I don't have to worry about reading specs. I don't have to have knowledge about specs for a computer. I just buy my Xbox, I plug in the HDMI, and I'm good to go. And I think that Xbox and Microsoft are smart enough to understand that that's the difference between PC and console gamers. That they'll capitalize on that and say, we need to keep this simple. We can't just turn it into, you know, you got to be careful with how much you can customize, because if you give too many options, I think that becomes a dangerous thing. And some people may disagree with me completely, but that's my opinion. That's how I am personally. So I can only assume how other people are. So
I like the idea of being able to customize your Xbox too. I mean, people do it all the time, aesthetically, at least right now. I mean, they put skins on them and everything like that. I think too it's smart on their part, because I feel like every, you know, 5-7 years that a new console comes out, typically like PlayStation and Xbox come out at the same time with new consoles, so there's always like a drop off between the two brands So they're, you know, like, you hit the end of it and then you decide, like, you have to, you come to that, all right, do I want a new PlayStation or do I want a new Xbox? And then sometimes, you know, they have one little extra feature or their marketing was just a little bit better. But if you have one console that you've already sunk, you know, over the course of 10 years, $1,000 into, you know, upgrading it, and you have gotten it to where you want it, and you know that there's new upgrades coming out, like, I think you're going to create brand loyalty a lot longer than you would typically with just a normal console.
Right. That's a great point. We're working this out in our minds just on the podcast right now, and it's so interesting, and we could talk about it for hours. There's just so many questions. That is such a different model, and I commend Phil Spencer. I think he's a great head for Xbox. I think he's doing a great job, and I think that that is a game-changing idea and industry-changing, really. And I'm excited to see what the future holds. And once we get more intel and more details on what that'll look like for the future, I definitely am very excited. So,
yeah,
good job, Xbox.
For sure. All right. Well, so coming out soon, we have Suicide Squad is definitely just around the corner. Very excited for that. We did hear some reports that we've heard rumors for a while, but we've heard some more official reports that Suicide Squad's sequel is already planned at Warner Brothers. Apparently buried in a story on the website The Wrap about the next collaboration between actor Will Smith and director David Ayer, who directed the Suicide Squad, is in the news that Warner Brothers is already planning a Suicide Squad sequel. The site reported that Will Smith and Joel Edgerton are working on a police thriller called Bright, and it will be directed by David Ayer as well, and that both he and Smith are slipping the movie in between the schedule before their planned shooting for 2017 the sequel for Suicide Squad. So that's kind of exciting. I know that there's a lot of big hype already around DC Suicide Squad. I can't wait to see it. I think it's going to be phenomenal, but that's cool that there's already talks and they're already planning out shooting the next one already in 2017 as well. So that means, you know, not too long after we'll have the next one.
Yeah, I think this was good news. I mean, I think Warner Brothers, you know, is smart to jump on the property of all the hype, and I'm sure they've seen the movie and realize that it's a great movie. So I don't know. I think it's exciting to know that there's already a sequel planned in the works. And I think, like I said, right after Batman vs. Superman and Suicide Squad, we're really going to start to fall into that DC schedule, Sean, of what we've always wanted DC to be, you know, as opposed to what Marvel has been for the past 5-6 years now. So it's very exciting news. We just can't wait to see Batman vs. Superman, which is right around the corner, and just get this DC era going. For sure, you know, man. So
I really hope with already news of a sequel for Suicide Squad, and we've already went through the whole schedule of DC's lineup for the next couple years, next 10 years, 20 years. I hope that there's a lot more crossover. I hope that we see some of the superheroes maybe make appearances in the second one or the sequel, and then we see some of the villains make appearances in the other superhero movies that are going to be coming out from DC. Just awesome, man. What a great time. Like, I really, really appreciated Marvel's Avenger movies and everything that they've put out, but I've always been a DC kid at heart, so I'm really excited to see this next round of what's going to be coming down the pipe. So
I can't agree with you more. Yeah, Marvel's contributed a lot to the comic book community, just cinematic wise, and really have proved that, really started the whole superhero era with the great movies that they had with Iron Man, and they've really thrived and done a great job. So I just can't wait to see. I really think that DC's going to have the next era of great superhero movies, and that's the me and Sean's favorite kind of superheroes, so it's pretty exciting. So we're excited. So moving right along, it looks like we have another Predator movie set to start filming for March 2nd, 2018. Is that correct, or is that when it's going to come out?
That is, it's set to come out March 2nd, 2018, I believe. So, yeah. So, it'll be 8 years since the last one, which, I don't know if you saw it. I saw it. It had Adrian Brody in it. They're, like, these, like, convicts get dropped off on this, like, weird planet to be, like, hunted. So, like, it's like a game reserve, basically, for predators.
Yeah. I like Predator and Alien. I'm a sucker for those type of films. The original Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger is my favorite, but that's just the best one. But yeah, I think it's a good idea. I think it's good to keep it around. I think there's a fan base of Predator, and you know, and it's not the Alien movies either. But I know the Predator and Alien kind of go hand in hand. So that genre, that group of fans, I think will be excited for that. I think it's fun, so why not?
Yeah, for sure. It's been a property of Fox's for a long time. They come out with every now and then we'll see new movies of it. I thought the last one was really good. I'm sure this one's going to be great, especially with the... I know that there are new Alien movies already in the works. Prometheus has a sequel coming out, I think, in the next year. A new Aliens movie that's in conjunction with Prometheus, which is part of the Aliens world, is also coming out in the next year. So, yeah, man, I think it's good. In your opinion, were you a bigger fan of Predator or Alien movies back in the day?
I think Predator. My grandpa probably let me watch The Predator when I was way too young. But I thought it was... I was actually probably like my first violent movie I saw as a kid.
Pretty violent movie too.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think that just has a special place in my heart. I think it was a great movie. And Alien movies, they were good, but I wasn't like... I wouldn't watch them over and over again, you know? But how about you?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm similar in the same aspect that like one of the first movies... I remember going to see with my dad actually was an Alien movie, the first Alien movie, I want to say, maybe the second one. I might have been too young for the first one. I don't know. I can't remember the exact movie, but I remember it was like one of the first movies my dad took me to, and also probably way too young and fairly violent movies. But yeah, it was super good franchise. They've done a really good job. The recent iterations like Prometheus and all that stuff is phenomenal. But yeah, I agree, man. Both are equally good and have really good traits to them. So I'm excited to see it. I think it's cool that they're continuing to bring that to new generations and stuff. So
yeah, I think it's good. It's good to stay in the loop and see what good movies are coming out. So yeah, speaking of movies, this is probably the last on the movie docket we have for movie news. Fox pulls Gambit off of its superhero release calendar. You know, Gambit, an X-Men spinoff starring Channing Tatum, is no longer listed on Fox's release calendar box office, which tracks global film grosses. So, the release date data, you know, isn't there anymore. I think this is something's going on, dude. They changed the act. They changed the director. Took Channing Tatum forever to sign on. They're rescheduling it, pushing the schedule back. Now they don't have a superhero release calendar. This just seems like a mess to me. I feel like every headline we've had about this Gambit is just gone from bad to worse. Because I don't think Channing Tatum is a good cast at all. So
yeah, man, I don't know what's going on with it either. It definitely sounds a little fishy. You would think that they would jump on it with the success of Deadpool. They had such a huge, huge, huge turnout for that movie. Maybe that kind of threw them off because it was slated to be like another X-Men movie and not as risque as like the Deadpool movie. Maybe that was where they wanted to reboot it and kind of make it a little more dark. I don't know. I don't know what it is about it. I don't know why they did it. Hopefully it still comes out. He was one of my favorite characters growing up. I wasn't super happy with the Channing Tatum thing, so maybe they switch him out. But yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe they're kind of waiting to see how the DC thing turns out.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It seems like they're moving it back, moving forward. I feel like I've read several different reports, but definitely something's going on. and hopefully they get their shit together, because he's a great Marvel property that's never been properly focused on and had the spotlight on and casted for. Gambit made an appearance in an X-Men Wolverine film. I'm forgetting which one off the top of my head.
I think it was, but he had a little. I think it was called.
Was it the Wolverine?
Yeah, it was like the first actual just Wolverine movie.
Yeah, and he had a little cameo, and it was cool. But I would like to have a full-fledged Gambit movie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, we'll see. We'll see what goes on. But, Sean, the last thing for news we have this week is one of the things that I'm most excited about. If you're a listener of the show, you know me and Sean love Battlefield. We think it's a great game. We've played Battlefield 4, I think, Sean, was our favorite.
Yeah.
Or Battlefield Bad Company, one of the first ones. We love the franchise, and we think DICE has done a great job with the game. Hardline, the most recent iteration of Battlefield, wasn't that great, but it was okay. It wasn't like the worst video game ever.
Yeah.
It hasn't done great in sales or online, you know, keeping online players, but it's still an okay game. So
I would say I appreciated their attempt to try something different, because they kind of did the cops and robbers thing, which hasn't really been done in their franchise yet. So I think it was a good attempt at that. But yeah, definitely their bread and butter is the more war centric things.
Yeah, and I don't think Hardline worked, and I think DICE and EA know that, so they're going in a different direction. Sean, Battlefield 5 is to be reportedly set in World War 1. So we're going backwards again. Remember when World War like 1 and 2 games were it,
everything,
and then it was like Modern Warfare forever, and it still is, and now it's like could be setting a trend going back again. So what do you think about this?
Dude, I am super excited, because when I first got into gaming, I felt like that was like a big thing, was to play, I don't know, like World War 1 and World War 2 especially, like there were tons of movies coming out, like Saving Private Ryan was out, like all these other movies, Band of Brothers show was on. So it was like, I don't know, like I know things go in cycles a lot, especially with entertainment. So I'm glad that we're finally back to, I'm a huge history buff and I really like and appreciate all that stuff. I like the, I don't know, like just the grittiness of World War One and Two. I think that's cool. I think Modern Warfare does such a good job at like the new stuff. I think it's cool that they're going the opposite direction, you know, to try to compete with that. So
yeah, absolutely. I think this is great. So everything is old. Everything old is new again. Excuse me. At least that's the direction that EA and DICE Battlefield 5 might be taking. The Battlefield series, along with its offshoot Hardline, has been, the present day for the franchise's entries over the past few years. But it looks like the game might be heading back in time, blah, blah, blah. World War One, to be exact. It looks like it's just going to be a badass big World War One battlefield type. You know, you got your German tanks, you're gonna have what I'm excited for, Sean, is, you know, Battlefield's really known for its vehicles.
Oh yeah.
And think about all those old school planes that you could have those dogfights in. I think that would be a lot of fun to just look at and do, you know.
For sure. Something we weren't able to have back then, because they weren't quite as developed as they are now. I think that's really sad. And
yeah,
think of the cool maps that we're going to see, and like, yeah, historic battles that they can recreate and all that stuff. I think it's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, and they keep branding it as a multiplayer tactical shooter in a World War One setting. So I don't know, that could really mean anything, but it's exciting regardless. So I wonder if this will also set a trend, Sean, for Call of Duty to go back and for all these other famous shooters to go back in time and do World War One games or World War Two games. But regardless, it looks like it's going to come out October 26th for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. So I guess that's right around the corner. I don't know if that date will be pushed back. This is kind of a leak, so I think that that date might change.
Yeah, I haven't heard a ton of chatter about it yet, but that makes sense. It's about the time we were saying last week. A lot of new titles come out around the holidays, and they're definitely due. Hardline has been out for quite a while, so they're definitely due for something new, which would be awesome. I hope that that's the case. That'd be great. I can't wait to play it.
Yeah, I know. Good news, good news. Tell us what you guys think about it. Are you Battlefield? You're more Call of Duty fan? What do you guys prefer?
You more don't forget modern warfare, or would you love to see the old stuff come back?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Sean, that's the last of it for the news this week, but we have a great Q&A question. Sean, you answer this first. What superhero would you choose to train under? Would you like train over Wolverine or Batman or Deadpool or Green Arrow or Green Lantern? Which superhero would you choose to train under?
I probably would say Batman. I mean, he's my favorite hero. You get to stay in a dope house. He's had the most experience training young people, I feel like. You get cool gadgets, cool toys. He hooks you up with, you know, pretty much anything you want. He's super rich, so you're set for life. He's kind of a dick sometimes, but that comes with the territory of most of these heroes. So, yeah, I would say Batman. How about yourself?
Batman, yeah, I think that'd be cool, but I think, you know, Jason Todd was killed, and his own son, Damian Wayne, died, you know. He definitely would be really hard on you, and I don't know. I don't know if that would be the best.
Yeah, but definitely if you be succeed, you probably the most
gratifying. Lightning. Yeah, I mean, he's the best superhero ever. I mean, everyone knows that about you and me. But just maybe to give a curveball, I really honestly think Oliver Queen would be fun to be like his sidekick or train
same
under.
Principle. Rich dude takes care of you.
Yeah, I think he's probably not as morally, you know, on the straight and narrow as Bruce Wayne, so you could probably get away with a lot more. So,
yeah.
Oh, I killed somebody. Oh, you.
Yeah. Deadpool and Wolverine would be terrible because they're immortal, so they would like crash their truck and kill you. And
fine. They're like, oh yeah. Whatever. They can't live through that.
Yeah, and they're just notorious for being dicks. So, yeah, I don't know if those guys would be great. Superman. It would be annoying to be around him, I feel like.
Let's assume that superhero that you train under, you have their power as well. So if like you're training under Superman, you would be like Kryptonian.
It still would annoy me because he's too goody-goody. I would get agitated too easily with like him trying to always give me the moral lesson. I'm definitely the same way with Captain America.
Yeah. He
would definitely get on my nerves.
Well, look what happened to Bucky. Bucky's all fucked up, man. Winter Soldier, and he's like...
become a communist.
Started the Civil War between the Avengers. Like, come on now. Yeah.
No, totally agree. Yeah, Iron Man, same way. It's kind of a jerk. He has the side of having lots of money, and he's probably a little looser in morals, so you probably get away with a lot more, have a lot more fun. So he might not be bad.
Maybe, be another good one, yeah.
Yeah, so these rich. So we basically just want to whore ourselves out for money, is what we're saying.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
We want rich. We want
rich with superpowers. Rich daddies. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Dream, dream, dream.
All right. Dream, dream, dream. You could do that now, you know, right? You could go find some old guy to give you. I mean, you got to do stuff for it.
Yeah, probably stuff I couldn't do. Wouldn't be proud of. That's for sure. Yeah.
Male prostitution.
Yeah. Don't know if. Yeah. I don't know. And I'm not getting any superpowers out of it. Just. On that note, take us out, buddy.
Thanks for joining us. All right, guys. That's been another week. 5280 Nerd. Thank you guys so much for joining us. If you guys want to let us know what superhero you'd like to train under, if you have their powers and everything, you get to learn from them. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say about it, or any of the other questions that we asked. You can always find us on Twitter at our show is at 5280 Nerd. You can find myself at Sean H. Porter, and you can find Micah at
old rich wiener in my mouth.
.com.
I'm sorry. Yeah. At Vash0077. I had nice. To. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And like always, if you like this, for some reason, you could go and subscribe to us on iTunes and give us stars and rate and review us, which is always helpful to us, helps other people find us. Yeah, thank you guys so much. Check out our website, 5280nerd.com. We love you guys. We hope you have a great week. And don't fall into the traps of prostitution.
Don't do it. It's not worth
it. Don't do it.
It's stinky horrible. And gross. Take our advice.
We don't know.
But it's probably pretty bad. And thanks again, guys, for the continued support. We appreciate it, and I will get this episode out on time, I promise. Shit, now I really have to do it. It's recorded. I have to get it out on time.
I mean, you're editing it, so you can edit that part out.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we'll see. All right, guys, thanks again.
See you guys. You could do that now, you know, right? You could go find some old guy to give you... I mean, you gotta do stuff for it.
Yeah, probably stuff I couldn't do. Wouldn't be proud of, that's for sure. Yeah.
Male prostitution.
Yeah, don't know if... Yeah, I don't know. And I'm not getting any superpowers out of it. Just...